I want you to look again this morning and notice verse 9 of this text where Solomon, as the king, states one of the great axioms of a believer's life. He says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." In other words, when it comes to matters of life and events, of plans and of the future, the heart of man is just naturally inclined to devise his entire way. Man likes to know where he's going, where he's going to be 10 years from now, and how he's going to get there. But compare the word deviseth with the word directeth, and the word way with the word steps. Let's read it again. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now, folks, if you're talking about matters of future events and prior knowledge and promises and predictions and plans, there is a huge difference between devising your way or directing your steps. One is macro, the other is micro. One is man proposing, and the other is God disposing, to paraphrase Thomas A. Kempis. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." And of course, in light of recent events in all of our lives, it would do us all very well indeed, beloved, to ponder and appreciate all the ramifications of this morning's text. You know, a few years ago, the National Weather Service introduced us to the term cone of probability. That was a phrase we became all too familiar with and obsessed over. And it wasn't long, a couple years, we learned that the cone of probability really should be called the cone of possibility. This year, of course, we embraced a new weather term, and it's the title of this morning's message. They gave us the term, or reintroduced the term, spaghetti models. Those wonderful, colorful spaghetti models. You see, a man's heart deviseth spaghetti models. It's what the future holds, days and weeks ahead of us. But the Lord directeth just our steps. Let's pray. Father, please help us to understand the power, the meaning, the glory, the wisdom contained in this great text and this chapter. And I pray, Father, that as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart these things, these eternal realities for the children of God, that our thinking will be set according to your wisdom and your thinking. Help us to that end, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When the Bible says that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps, you do realize that God is using the smallest increment possible to describe how he leads in the lives of his own. I mean, if I'm on a journey and a pilgrimage through life, there's really, think about it, there's nothing less that I can do going forward than taking a single solitary step. That word in the Bible is the word step. It's not a leap. It's not a flight or a jump or a trip or a cruise or a light year or a country mile. One step is the least amount of progress or revelation that I can enjoy as described in this text. You say, well, that's not true, Pastor. Pastor, we have the Bible that shows us the entire future all the way into eternity. And you know what? That is gloriously true. But do you know how the Bible guides us now? Do you know how the Bible guides us here on this earthly pilgrimage into the future? Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp." Now, wait a minute. The lamp that the psalmist was describing there was an oil lamp carried by hand with a single flame. Picture Aladdin's lamp. That's the illumination. So that the text says what? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Feet? That's all? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And then it goes on to say that it's a light not unto my destination, it's a light unto my path. That's how it works daily. That's how it works practically in the life. God directs our steps. You see, man works by spaghetti models. All these long-term forecasts based upon data fed into man-made computers drawn from weather buoys and pressure systems and historical patterns. There's the climatology and the persistence model. There's the extrapolated model. There's the beta invection models called BAM-BAM. One is European, one is American. And you know, added together, you have all of these very colorful lines going forward to show you the future. And what do these spaghetti models do other than make me hungry for pasta? Well, they devise a way. They show you the future and what you can expect down the road, which is exactly what we crave, which is exactly what man's heart wants in every area of life, not just in storms. In the believer's life, God doesn't provide us with spaghetti models for our daily walk. Not our daily walk. Instead, it's something more akin to a grain of rice. Because ours is a life of faith, and as such, it is a life of glory and grace. It is a life of amazing opportunity to honor God with the one thing that pleases Him the most, without which it is impossible to please God. And that's what we've been singing about today, and that is faith. What does it mean that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps? Three things. The first lesson, of course, you'll notice number one, is a lesson of humility. In fact, I want you to notice the tenor of the entire text leading up to our text. Verse 1. It says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Verse 4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Verse 5, every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You see, folks, the reason why a man's heart deviseth his own way is that man is wise in his own conceit. We love to make our plans and decide our futures based upon our own amazing intellect or our experience, our education, our savvy, our talent, all of our abilities. You know, the folks at the National Weather Service have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of talent, a lot of education, and a lot of experience. But you know something? With all of that, they were still wrong. And they're almost always still wrong. They were wrong with their spaghetti models on an hourly, daily, and weekly basis. And I do not fault them, by the way, at all for that. They're the reason why we don't have ships and armadas sinking at sea, suddenly caught unaware. So I'm very grateful. What is annoying, however, is that our media can never admit that they are ever wrong. In fact, they just doubled down. We told you to evacuate the West Coast. No, you didn't. 2 days ago, you broadcast 20 models that said otherwise, that you said that you better hunker down in the East Coast because it's all going to be bad. You said, Pastor, you sound bitter. All right, maybe I am a little bitter. But just for once, could the media admit that they're wrong? I'll be the very first to admit with regards to this latest storm that I was wrong. And I was surprised that I was wrong. I mean, hey, I've gone through Andrew and Katrina and Jean and Francis and Wilma, and I've stood in the eye of two of those storms. I got this. I'll plan ahead. Told Ben I was planning ahead. He was very worried. He said, all I remember, Dad, is us trying to drive away from Hurricane Francis, never making it to Orlando and having to turn back and come home, and the house wasn't boarded up. That's all I remember. I said, Ben, I got this. And I did. I really did. I had two tickets. Two tickets to Indianapolis on Allegiant Airlines. And of course, he wanted to see them. So I showed them to him very proudly. Unfortunately, 2 days later, I had to show him an email that said, we regret to inform you your trip has been canceled on Allegiant Airlines. So now what? Well, it's no big deal. I canceled the hotels up in Indianapolis and we drive to the west coast of Florida because I know that you only need to be 40 to 50 miles west of any hurricane, and you're fine. And all the spaghetti models still show it going east. So I told Ben that. I said, we just need to go to Clearwater. Are you sure, Dad? Trust me, Ben. So we go to Clearwater. And we get a hotel. And as soon as we check in, which was an ordeal, we were informed that we'd be evacuated by 8 p.m. Now all the spaghetti and meatballs were showing east still. And I said, really? I said, it just shows. And they said, no, you don't understand. It's Zone A. All Zone A's are mandatory evacuation. All you have to do is go over the big bridge, go to Tampa. Ben's response, I said, Ben, we're leaving Clearwater. We had just gotten out of the car, and that was a long trip, traffic-wise. His response to me when I told him was one word, with attitude. His one word was, Dad. I said, no problem. I said, Ben, it's just protocol. We're going inland. They suggested downtown Tampa, Zone B. So we did. Got a different hotel, and all was well. Spent the night there until the morning, when the geniuses at the Weather Channel said, oh, this thing just jogged a little west. Oh, did it? And then they said, we told you not to trust the models. No, you didn't. You told us that the East Coast would look like the zombie apocalypse by Sunday night. I checked flights out of Tampa. There's no way. I called Orlando. They literally laughed at me. So Friday morning, like many of you, we headed north. I mean, we checked out of that hotel, and we just drove north. No specific destination, just north. Siri was a big help because Siri tells you it's a 20-mile detour that'll help you if you just take this detour. Unfortunately, everybody on Earth also listens to Siri, so those roads were crowded. We drove north all the way to Alabama. Montgomery, Alabama, it's a 7.5-hour drive. It took us over 12 hours. We drove all night long. We got there. There were no hotels, none, zero. I said, any hotels in Huntsville, Alabama? They called. No hotels 2 hours north in Huntsville, Alabama. 100 miles in either direction of Huntsville, Alabama. Because all of you guys are in those hotels. I know why. So there's always the Montgomery Airport. So drove over there. Any flights to anywhere? I don't care. Anywhere. It was 4 a.m. She said, there's one flight, 2 seats to Dallas. I said, yeehaw, hot diggity, Texas. I'll take it. And I took it. And you know, for the last 6 nights, we stayed, for those 6 nights, at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport Hotel, spending all of Ben's inheritance. Because this genius listened to those geniuses. The blind leading the blind. And if nothing else, we've been reminded once again that when it comes to man proposing, whenever it comes to the devices of a man's heart, when it comes to the future or probabilities or planning or scheming or predictions, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We might think we know. It is nothing less than foolish pride for any of us to think that our plans and our purposes are founded upon certainties. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not. He knows. But you do not boast upon tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:13 is even more specific. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Staying at the airport hotel in Dallas, there was no need to rent a car. And so I downloaded the Uber app and thought I'd save money on all that and took a couple excursions with Ben. I met 6 different Uber drivers. And of course, I want to have conversation and see if there's an opportunity to witness. I also asked a lot of questions. And one of the things I've learned so far is that all Uber and Lyft drivers, all of them have one thing in common. And that is, in every conversation, all of them made the point to tell me that this job was just a detour. This was just a temporary thing. Because one man, Amal, was an engineer from Dubai. And he said, I had children too soon. And so I'm doing this. I said, how long have you been doing it? And he said, 3 years. Another man was Achamed, a Palestinian from Jerusalem. I was in school, he said, but I had to stop and drive for Uber before I could fulfill my dream of owning a business because I had a health issue. Same thing with James, who had planned to live in Florida and run a bed and breakfast. But he got sidetracked with his parents' illness. But it was always the very same story. And also in each case, they had been doing this temporary thing in life for two and a half, 3 years. After one of the rides, I got back to the hotel and decided to take my briefcase and go and study and do some reading in the fancy lobby area. There's all these suits down there for some convention. Wealthy, successful businessmen. And I overheard one of them saying that this was his last trip to Dallas because his firm was downsizing and he was now officially without any job. And he said he didn't know what was next in his life. I almost went over to him and said, you're going to be an Uber driver for at least 2 or 3 years. But you know what that reminded me of? It reminded me that position and wealth, they don't guarantee tomorrow either. So that, you know, when it comes to life and future plans and earthly prospects, the one thing we all better have in great, great supply is humility before God.
Well, I did great during this storm. I knew better than to get on the road like you, Pastor. I got a generator. I never lost power. I was cool as a cucumber, hot showers. I just know how to prepare for these events. Really? You're going to go with that?
You know, man should never look at good fortune at the hand of God and interpret that as his own ingenuity. Just recognize that God was good to you. I remember when I was a little boy, my grandpa Powell was one of the very first in Fort Lauderdale to get a television with a remote control. And you know, it was not a digital remote, obviously. It was in the 1960s. It was a big push-button thing. And it literally made the knob on the TV just turn. Loud and clunky, boom, boom. Well, back then it was unheard of, futuristic. I didn't know about it, so playing a trick on me, my grandpa and my dad called me in the room and told me to look at the TV and point my finger, and I did. And I was a little boy, and I pointed it. When I did, it went. And they said, do it again, and I went. Now, I knew I had superpowers, because I put a little cape on with my mom's clothespins, you know, the pillowcase thing. But I was like, wow. And so I said, Mommy, come here. Or Grandma, look what I did. They did it again. Or not. You know, beloved, don't be a child with pride because God did something through you. You didn't do it. Or because God blessed your path above another's. It's not you. You don't have superpowers. You have a powerful God and super reasons to be grateful. There's a lesson of humility. The second thing you'll see in the text, number two, is a lesson of security. Read it again, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let me ask you a question. If God, the Lord, all capitals there, this is the all-powerful God. If God is directing your steps, besides the inherent faith that that involves, not knowing your whole future in life, what is the obvious blessing involved in this great promise? Well, folks, you have steps. You may not know where they lead, but you do know. You do know that God is directing those steps. And when a Christian knows and trusts that God, not the weather service, not my own mind and my own heart, that God is directing his steps, he doesn't have to worry about the next step, nor does he have to obsess over the last one. At the beginning of this year, I had no idea where I would be with my family by the end of the summer, nor the long, aching path that led us there. But he did. See, Pastor, what can you take comfort in? Beginning with, above all things, I can take comfort in the fact that he knew. And he directed. This Thursday is the first day of autumn. I had pumpkin cheesecake yesterday from Cheesecake Factory just to get in the mood before the crisp fall air cools us all down next Thursday. Oh, it's coming. But you know what? I don't know where I will be. And I don't know where you will be by the end of that season either. Look, we just avoided whatever misery a Category 5 might have brought into our lives. And that might give you unmitigated fear. I'm just glad to know that whatever steps do lie ahead, he's in charge. And he directs them. You know, everybody loves to quote and sing one of Job's great statements of faith. I mean, here's a man. If ever a man went through a storm, both literally and metaphorically. So people quote, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And that's glory for a believer. But don't forget what he said just before and just after that great statement. I'm going to read it to you. Job said, "On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps." The Lord directeth his steps. In other words, look, God's not just aware of your life or tomorrow in your life. God is not just aware or involved in the life of a believer. He's actually directing the smallest increment possible in life's progress. You know, when we drove those back roads in Alabama, heading up to Montgomery, I noticed something vintage on the side of the road that I hadn't seen since I was a little boy. And they were vintage back then when I saw them. Some of you will remember there used to be along the side of the highway these little red signs, six consecutive road signs that all added together made up some little saying. And you had to drive and then read each sign to eventually get the entire saying. And the last sign always said Burma Shave, some shaving lotion. Hardly a driver, and my brother said, "Oh, there's one." What did it say? It said, "Hardly a driver," and then you're waiting, dad's driving, "is still alive. Who passed on hills at 75, Burma Shave. Car in ditch, driver in tree, moon was full, so was he." Burma Shave. Right? Why is it when you drive, try to pass, the guy in front goes twice as fast? Burma Shave. Anybody here remember those signs? You're so old. When I saw this one in Alabama last week, I thought, you know, that's not unlike a life of faith. Sometimes the road doesn't make sense. You've got one line of an entire message, but just one line. And it's very cryptic. But you know that you've journeyed long enough that eventually that line has more to follow. And then another. And then another, and then ultimately you have in that regard some understanding. And always, when God shows you and you look back, your faith is strengthened and you go on. In Hamlet, Shakespeare has this line that says, "There is a divinity that shapes our ends, rough hew them how we will." In other words, a man's heart may devise his way, that's rough hue. But God is in the business of shaping and directing individual steps. It's what Paul describes as God's workmanship. Now, folks, I want you to think about the wonder. And I want you to think about all the ramifications of the truth that God, if you're His child, He is actively and directing your individual steps. I heard a football player the other day in one of those bios talk about his late father. And he talked about this miraculous touchdown pass that he caught in the Super Bowl game. And he said, "I knew that when that ball sailed just over the defender's hands and into mine for the game-winning touchdown, that my dad up there, he just sort of nudged that ball just enough to reach my hands." And I thought to myself, you know, I love my dad and I miss my dad, and my dad's in heaven. But I'm glad I'm not hoping in my dad's nudgings in this world, in this life, or any other sentimental notion. I'm trusting in the directing of my steps by none other than the living God. You know, there are, to be honest with you, only a few preachers in history whose sermons I'll make a point of reading when I can. One of those was the British pastor W.E. Sangster. W.E. Sangster was a pastor in London during the Second World War, and his night became a shelter. When every night the Nazis would bomb London, they would go to his church basement to hide out. 3,000 people gathered every Sunday to hear him preach, and they knew he was anointed. At the end of the war, he was asked to come to the United States to preach, which he did. But when he was in Texas, he began to have trouble swallowing and walking. It was a mystery. He was soon diagnosed with what back then was called muscular atrophy, and he just declined. By the end of his life, he was barely able to lift a finger. But people would visit him and marvel at his faith. He once made the statement that I am, quote, only in the kindergarten of suffering, when he was completely without strength. Unable to walk or speak, he was able to do one thing, and that was to take a pen in his hand, and he was able to write some words. His very last written words on Easter morning were in a letter to his daughter, where he wrote these words. "Dear one, it is a terrible thing to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have that voice and not want to shout it or know it." And W. Sangster shouted it at that moment with his pen in large letters, "He is risen. Risen, and with those three words, he went home to glory. This is the living God who directs and who guides our steps. A lesson of humility, a lesson of security. Finally, and very quickly, I want you to notice there's a lesson of responsibility. Go back to our text again and look at it. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I have a question. When it says his steps, who's he referring to? Does it mean his steps? Or does it mean the man's steps? And you know something, folks? The answer is both. God directs the steps, and that makes us his workmanship. But man, you have to take the step. You have to take, in obedience, the action of going forward for his glory. I was reading earlier this week the wonderful familiar story of David, a little shepherd boy, going up against the mighty warrior Goliath. And you know, in 1 Samuel 17, it's just filled with the brim of lessons of faith in God. "You come against me," David said, "with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day," David said, "will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." Earlier he said to King Saul, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." I mean, again, the whole story is chock full of a young boy's faith in God. So then I ask you a question. Why does it say that David, quote, chose him five smooth stones from the brook. He chose the stones. He chose five of them. And he chose five smooth ones. Why did he need to do that if God was going to give him the victory? Why smooth stones? Because rock slingers know that smooth stones are more accurate. It's physics and it's experience than jagged ones. So that he chose those. So that you see, folks, with all of David's faith, he still understood his own responsibility. He still understood that God gave him his abilities and his mind and his responsibility. He did not completely disregard spaghetti models, as it were. He utilized them. But he trusted in the God of steps. And you have steps today. And you'll have steps tomorrow. The real question is, are you trusting that wherever those steps lead, and they may lead on a great mountain of glory and prosperity in this fall and this winter, or they may lead in a valley. But do you trust him that he's directing them? Because as his child, he is. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, dear Father, for reminding us in just yet another scripture that the just shall live by faith, but that we have every reason to. That we have every reason to trust you, that you're directing our very steps. And I ask, Father, that we'll be sure that your word is the lamp unto our feet. That it's not just our own ingenuity, pride in our education, our abilities, but thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May it be so with every believer here regarding their home, their children, their employment, their decisions in life. Every young person in this room. And I pray for those in this room that are not sure about salvation, convict them to that end. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.